Hello and welcome to Our Catholic Way on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Kim Tizer. So happy to have you along today. I know we have a jam-packed show talking about Halloween, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. I thought it was really fitting with it being October now. We've already been seeing in the stores the Halloween costumes and decorations and candy. Maybe you've already started stocking up on the bags of candy, thinking you're actually going to hold on to those until Halloween. You know, I can only do that if I buy the junky stuff, you know. If I get chocolate, oh, forget it. It'll be gone well before Halloween. But, you know, this is an important topic, especially for Christians who aren't sure whether or not we should celebrate Halloween. As a matter of fact, I asked you last week to take advantage of this new phone line I have in place. Oh, I'm so excited. It's 731. The number 4-Our-Way, 731-4-Our-Way. I asked you to call and share how your family approaches Halloween. And friend Sterling Jaquith, who's the host of the podcast Coffee and Pearls, called and had this to say.
I think it's such a great topic. As a Protestant convert, you know, I definitely grew up hearing horrible things about Halloween. You know, my church was the kind that didn't say Halloween. They didn't put decorations up. And they really thought that it was a pagan holiday with roots tied to the devil. So I had been really scared of Halloween as I was a Protestant. And when I converted, you know, Catholics don't feel like that. And so there were so many Catholics celebrating Halloween joyfully, and it was really difficult for me. And it took me a couple years to dip my toes into Halloween. Even right now, my oldest is 5, and last year, all of my kids were animals because that was about all I could handle. And I think this year we'll probably do something similar. So I haven't yet gotten used to them dressing up in costumes and going trick-or-treating. And then I would say the other thing that makes me feel better about celebrating Halloween is All Saints Day. That is such a wonderful holiday to follow it up with. And so, you know, I've been learning how to celebrate that as a new Catholic. And, you know, that's certainly something that the Protestants don't have. And so I'm very grateful that we have that in our Catholic faith. And for me, it kind of balances it out and makes me feel a little more willing to participate. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about the topic.
Sterling, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on this. Like you, I've been on the fence for a long time. Even when I allow my kids to celebrate, I kind of do it half-heartedly. So anyway, I want to know, is there some definitive answer, someone's official word that says, yes, it is okay, or it isn't? And we want to find out. And that's why we're going to speak with Scott Richard, who is an expert on all things Catholic, in just a little bit. But I think it's probably worth noting what a saint is before we dive into this conversation, because Catholics and Protestants can have completely different ideas of what a saint is. And as a matter of fact, a lot of Protestants, if they know what Catholics believe, have objections because they say, well, you know, you Catholics call people who are in heaven a saint, but the Bible doesn't refer to any saints in heaven, only believers, only Christ followers. And that's true. If you look in the scriptures, that the term saint is used for those who follow Christ who are still sojourning on this earth. However, for the Catholic, just so you know, we do recognize Christ followers as saints, but we don't believe that ends when you die and go to heaven. You're still following Christ, right? Hopefully more perfectly at that point. And so that term still applies. So I hope that makes sense. There's so much more to this, and we may try to cover this more deeply in an upcoming episode, taking a look at saints and what the Catholic Catechism has to say about that. But I can tell you that for us, we've gone trick-or-treating in the past. I do draw the line at the gory, scary costumes. I don't like that. There was an exception. I think it was 2 years ago. Our oldest daughter, Audrey, she wanted to dress up like a La La Loopsie doll. And I don't know if you know anything about La La Loopsie dolls, but there are a gazillion dolls, and they all represent some different, I don't know, vocation or something. I think she has a baker, and there might be a mermaid. I can't even remember. But she wanted to be the mime. And I did her makeup. So I did the whole white face and the black eyeliner and these circles on her cheeks. Needless to say, she looked very sinister, like some evil doll that comes to life in the middle of the night while you're sleeping. And anyway, it was kind of scary, but it was very unintentional. But anyway, so I just like the fun costumes. I mean, costumes have changed so much from when I was a kid. I mean, I was a ghost once, but our ghosts were, I don't know, think Charlie Brown ghost. I mean, the sheet with eyes cut out. And in a way, I kind of wish we could bring that back. I don't mind something that's spiritual, because even though that represents maybe the dark side, I mean, most people think of that with ghosts, it reminds us of the spiritual. And in this day and age, I think that's a good reminder that there is a spiritual world. I think so many people have forgotten that fact. But when it comes to these hatchet-wielding, blood-dripping zombies, you know, I don't go for that. But I will say I do respect differences of opinion, and there will be many, I'm sure. And it will be interesting to find out how we feel toward the end or at the end of this discussion. And so maybe we should just go ahead and get started. Well, Scott Richard is the author of numerous articles on Catholic moral, social, political, and historical issues. He writes a monthly column for Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, of which he is the executive editor, I believe, still. He holds a BA in political science from Michigan State University. Go Spartans! And he is a guest today on Our Catholic Way. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Kimberly. How are you?
Fine. And just call me Kim or whatever you want. I'll answer to Kimberly,
okay, too.
Well, you know, Scott is here because he's an expert regarding all things Catholic, and you're going to find that to be true as we go further into this interview. But Scott, before we go further, I just have to thank you for all the work that you've done, especially writing about the Catholic faith at about.com. I first discovered your articles, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and they helped me so much as I was looking into, while not yet stepping into, the Catholic Church. I wasn't ready for that yet, but when I was researching, your articles were just fantastic. And so just thank you, because I know that's a labor of love.
Well, thank you very much. The main reason I do it is to try to help others, and it's always wonderful to hear the responses from people who benefited from my work.
We certainly have, and I appreciate it. So I invited you on to the show because I know you've written on the topics of Halloween and All Saints Day and All Souls Day, and around this time of year, parents, especially parents, I think, of young children, start asking the question, should I allow my child to participate in Halloween? And I know from past experience as a Protestant that Christians they're typically all over the map regarding the topic. And I don't know that I've heard as much debate among Catholics, though I'm sure it exists, and maybe you can shed some light on that. So what I'm really hoping that we'll find out today is, does the church have anything to say about whether or not Catholics should participate? As well as, we're going to find out some more information on All Saints Day and All Souls Day. But before we go further, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is Scott Richard?
Well, that's a good question.
I know you're a family man.
I am. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I've been married now for 24 years, half of my life, to a wonderful woman who is a convert to Catholicism.
Oh, no. I'll have to have her on the show.
Yes, in fact. we have 8 children. And Amy has homeschooled all of them.
Wow.
And I've been with Chronicles now for 21 years, and I'm coming up on 10 years now of writing as the Catholicism expert for About.com.
Okay, well, good. Well, we know a little bit more now about Scott Richard, so thank you so much for sharing that. So where do you think we should begin? Maybe a little bit of history on Halloween? Would that be the best place to start?
Okay. Sure.
All right.
You know, Halloween is perhaps the most misunderstood of all holidays on the calendar, and I think that part of it has to do with the fact that that people don't understand what the word means. I mean, when I was growing up, I think everybody actually did get that Halloween was a contraction of All Hallows' Eve, meaning the eve of All Hallows Day or All Saints Day. So, but somehow over the last 40 years or so, that that knowledge seems to have kind of gone by the wayside. And so you get these strange discussions of Halloween, especially online, where people act as if the name itself goes back to murky prehistory and pagan days, and nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is that the name has always been tied to an important Christian feast, which is, of course, All Saints Day, November 1st.
Do we know how long Christians have celebrated All Saints Day?
Yes. All Saints Day actually goes back to about the 5th or 6th century in one form or another.
Wow, okay.
And the celebration of it on November 1st goes back to the early 8th century when Pope Gregory III instituted the feast on that date in Rome as a way to celebrate all of the Roman martyrs who weren't known by name. So you had all of the saints who were known by name and martyrs who were known by name who were in the Roman martyrology. They had their own feasts on the calendar. And then there were all of these other martyrs who were martyred during the great persecutions of the first few centuries of Christianity, who were venerated but weren't actually known. And so this was a way to celebrate their lives as well and their sacrifice by lumping them all into a single holiday.
You're listening to Our Catholic Way. We'll have more with Scott Richard talking about the history of Halloween when we come back on Breadbox Media. Listening to Our Catholic Way on Breadbox Media. I'm Kim Tizer, and today we're privileged to speak with Catholicism expert Scott Richard. You may have seen his articles at Catholicism.about.com. We've been talking about the origins of Halloween, and Scott made it clear that Halloween has always been tied to All Saints Day, which has been celebrated on November 1st anyway since the 8th century. So, Scott, if it's connected to a Christian religious holiday, how and when did observers confuse it with pagan practices? And I mean, in some cases, demonic. You know, I even remember when I was a kid, it was called Hell's Night.
You know, Halloween does have what we might call peasant elements rather than pagan elements. You know, that that Halloween is actually a, as it seems to be, it's a harvest-themed type of festival, that it only was really celebrated in those cultures that were still farming cultures or agricultural cultures. And the Celtic countries were chief among these. So much of what we associate with Halloween is really from Irish or generically a Celtic background. But that's where the connections come in that later are exploited to try to turn Halloween into something that it never actually was. Because by the time that Gregory III established the Feast of All Saints in the early 8th century, or Gregory IV, a century later, extended that feast to the entire church, by the time that they came along, there really was no longer a pagan Celtic culture. In fact, Celtic paganism had been vanquished for a few hundred years. So all of this about druids, for instance, or human sacrifice, Samhain, the Celtic harvest festival, all of these things you could say are real in the sense that these things did happen, but they no longer happened long before All Saints Day came along, and so obviously before the Eve of All Saints was ever celebrated. And so, you know, when you look at it historically, it's odd to say, okay, well, people say that that Halloween, because it's coming from Celtic culture, because it has harvest elements attached to it, therefore it must go back to the Druids, human sacrifice, Samhain, etc. But there is this big gap, and a gap of 300 or 400 years between the end of Celtic paganism and the beginning of the celebration of All Saints Day and therefore of the vigil of All Saints Day is significant.
Sure.
You know, this is a period that's longer than the period that the United States has been in existence. So it would be like saying that, you know, some celebration here in the United States, say, you know, the 4th of July, Independence Day, that this actually has some kind of connection to Native American religious rituals. You know, when you say something like that, it sounds crazy. Nobody would think that.
Right.
But for whatever reason, people accept the idea that, okay, you had these Druids in these Celtic areas. Later on, hundreds of years later, after the Celts had been Christians for hundreds of years, you had the development of these traditions surrounding Halloween. Therefore, there must be a connection between Druidism and Halloween.
Well, Scott, do you know how the early Christians, I guess looking back around the 8th century, when All Saints Day was recognized November 1st, how would Catholics have recognized this day? Would it just have been, you know, Christians would go to church, go to Mass? And as you answer that, maybe there's more to it than that. But how then did the pumpkins and all of that get pulled into this? Because I think maybe that's where some Christians have an issue with it. They feel like it was Christianized, that it was pagan, even though you've already said that there were several hundred years apart, but that it was somehow Christianized and they took elements of paganism. And I don't know, I'm kind of all over the map here. I guess I have a lot of questions.
Right. Well, and again, yeah, the general celebration of All Saints Day, of course, is much like the celebration of All Saints Day today. It's celebrated as the Mass. It is commemorating all of the saints. It's solemn, but joyful, et cetera, et cetera. But every major feast in Christianity has, over the centuries, had a vigil. It's had a preparation period for it. And those preparation periods take on different types of activities depending on the culture in which they're being celebrated. And so this is where it's important to make that distinction between pagan culture or pagan activity and peasant culture. You can have Christian peasants who take elements of their own peasant culture and integrate them into their celebration of Christian feasts. For instance, we do this even today in the May crownings that we have at the beginning of May. Crown Mary with a crown of flowers, present flowers to Mary as an offering to show our devotion to her. You know, this itself, many Protestants would look at this and say, hey, that's paganism, right? You're walking up to a statue and you're putting a crown on a statue and you're presenting flowers to this statue.
Right.
And really, it's simply a peasant tradition. It is an agricultural, the kind of tradition that an agricultural community develops. The first fruits of a harvest, you know, the early spring flowers are being presented to the object of our affection, our mother and the mother of the Lord. And the same sort of thing happens with the development of Halloween as the vigil of All Saints. You have longstanding harvest festivals that, again, are peasant festivals, not pagan festivals. And it becomes natural to tie these in with this great feast that we're celebrating around that time. Again, to go back to the distinction between paganism and peasant here, pagan festivals are always tied to the movement of the sun and the moon, and especially the moon. And so you'll see people claiming that Samhain, the Druidic pagan harvest festival, was always held on October 31st. Well, again, you know, it ought to be a clue that, A, the Druids did not have a month called October. This was, in fact, a Roman calendar. B, harvest festivals, religious harvest festivals, were always tied to the moon. And so, therefore, they are never on a set date. Again, okay. think of the celebration of Ramadan today among Muslims. Ramadan has no set date, and it moves throughout the year as the years go by because of the fact that it is tied to a lunar month rather than to a particular date. So Samhain was actually tied to the lunar month. It wasn't October 31st. It was a fall festival. That is true. But again, it was something that wasn't being celebrated for a few hundred years before All Saints Day ever came along. Now, here's where things get really interesting. We go through a whole period of almost 1,000 years after All Saints Day is instituted and put on the universal calendar of the church. We go through almost 1,000 years during which these traditions of celebrating All Hallows Eve begin to arise, especially among the Celtic cultures. And nobody ever says that there's any connection between this and Druidism or this and paganism, much less any connection to things like human sacrifice, et cetera, all the things that you hear about today. So how does it happen that people begin to believe this to be true?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, well, Scott, and I bet some others listening are wondering the same thing. How did this happen?
Well, it happens in post-Reformation England. And what happens then is you have these attacks on Catholicism. And it's not simply an attack on Halloween. It's an attack on All Saints Day and the vigil of All Saints Day. It's an attack on Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And probably Easter as well.
You have these holidays that are identified as Catholic. And particularly when it comes to All Saints Day, you know, the Reformation wants to downplay the idea of saints as we Catholics understand them, elevate the idea of saints as all Christian believers. And so they need to outlaw this feast. They outlaw Christmas and its traditions. The Parliament of England banned Christmas celebrations outright in 1647. It becomes illegal to celebrate Christmas in England in 1647. And around the same time, All Saints Day is abolished.
I hope you find this history lesson as interesting as I do. More with Scott Richard when we come back right here on Our Catholic Way. You're listening to Breadbox Media. This is Our Catholic Way. Hey there, I'm Kim Tizer. We're speaking with expert on all things Catholic, Scott Richard. Scott, I cut you off earlier, I know, but you were sharing how the Parliament of England banned Christmas and All Saints Day in particular in the 1640s because they were just too Catholic, I guess.
So at that point, you have this sense that, okay, there's something wrong with this. But the thing that is wrong with it, according to the Puritan Parliament, is not that it is pagan in the sense that we're thinking of it here. It's that it is pagan in the sense that they think Catholics are pagans. that they think that our veneration of the saints is a relic of paganism rather than true Christianity. So then when the Puritans come to the United States, in the northeastern United States, they continue to follow this tradition and they outlaw the celebration of both Christmas and Halloween. And it's only in the 19th century, the mid to late 19th century, that Christmas actually becomes a holiday again in the northeastern United States, because you have German Catholic immigrants coming to the United States, and they, of course, had continued to celebrate Christmas, and so they brought their celebration of Christmas with them, including Christmas trees, which people will tell you are also pagan, even though they aren't, and Irish Catholic immigrants brought the celebration of Halloween. And those same Irish Catholic immigrants found that here in the United States, it was easier to get pumpkins or other types of gourds to carve rather than the turnips that they used to carve over in the home country. And so that's where your jack-o'-lantern comes from. But again, you know, we're looking at something where for 300 years, well, 250 years or so, in England and in the northeastern United States, you have an attack on Halloween and an attack on Christmas that are actually simply anti-Catholic rather than any concern about paganism.
Scott, I'm going to stop. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to get this in here, though. Has a pope in recent history addressed these modern day objections? Because I know that tends to be the trend of the Catholic Church, you know, is that things are going along smoothly. And it's not until there's some outside objection to a teaching, per se, that they come out and say, hey, look, you know, this is the truth, and they write something about it. There's some encyclical. There wouldn't be an encyclical for this, but or a letter. Has there been any official statement regarding Halloween for Catholics to know what they can do, what is acceptable?
Right. No, there hasn't, and you'll often hear people say that Pope Benedict actually condemned Halloween.
Oh, uh-huh.
And this is all based on an article from the UK Daily Mail.
Oh.
And
that explains everything.
It has this incredibly provocative headline. Halloween is dangerous, says the Pope as he slams anti-Christian festival. And so every year around Halloween, I get people emailing me this article and saying, see, even Pope Benedict understand that Halloween is pagan, it's dangerous, you know, why do you say that it's okay for Catholic children to take part in Halloween activities? And the interesting thing is none of these people seem to have actually read the article.
Just looked at the headline.
They read the headline, and it turns out that that nowhere in the article is Pope Benedict quoted at all.
Oh,
he didn't say anything at all about Halloween. The L'Osservatore Romano, in fact, did publish an article in 2009 called "The Dangerous Messages of Halloween," which quotes a woman named Joan Maria Canals, who declares that many modern-day celebrations of Halloween have, quote, an undercurrent of occultism and are absolutely anti-Christian. So that's where they get these words, dangerous, anti-Christian, et cetera, and then they go and, in the headline, put them in the mouth of the Pope. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that there are, among Catholics, those who have been concerned about changes in the way that Halloween has been celebrated in recent years. Mm-hmm. That you know, when I was a kid, Halloween was for kids. Traditionally, that's always been true. But at some point in the last 40 years, after Halloween came under attack again, and the anti-Catholic attacks on Halloween came back with a vengeance, and we can get to that in a minute. But at some point there, Halloween kind of hit a low point. And for whatever reason, many adults began adopting it as their holiday and sort of a hedonistic holiday. And so, you know, we've all seen the many Halloween stores with the rather risque adult costumes and, you know, adult Halloween parties that you wouldn't want children to take part in. And yes, because things have changed culturally, this is something that is very different from the celebration of Halloween back when I was young. But that doesn't mean that the celebration of Halloween back when I was young led to this. It doesn't mean that the celebration of Halloween today, in the way that we celebrated it back when I was young, is wrong. It means that that adults with raging libidos will act like they always do when they're given a chance to act that way.
Just looking for an opportunity or an excuse to do what they want. You know, this makes me think of the big push in recent years to take back Christmas, you know, and viewing it as a Christian holiday. We need a slogan because Jesus is the reason for the season works great, I think, for trying to take back Christmas. We need something for Halloween, Scott. I don't know what it is yet. We'll have to massage this, you know, massage the thought of this. So, so how do you know how, and this is kind of trivial, really, but how we got into the going door to door and asking for candy and dressing up? Because, you know, I've heard the objections that, well, and they tie back to the times, I guess, of the Druids with going door to door and asking for people's souls and they put them in a pumpkin or something. I don't know. But how did that come about? Do you know?
Well, actually, the Druids may or may not have done any of this sort of thing. We actually don't know. There is no actual documentation on anything like that. I mean, we know so very little about Druidism. You know, that's why we still debate to this day what the purpose of Stonehenge was, because we get there's no way to what what Druidic religion actually was about. But what we do know is that Catholic children in late medieval and early modern Celtic countries went around on the night before All Saints Day, and they begged for what were called soul cakes. And you can actually still find recipes out there online.
Really?
Great way to bring bring the Halloween, the true spirit of Halloween, back with your children to go out and bake soul cakes. But these were it was tied to the whole idea that you have this 3-day period. You have the Vigil of All Saints Day, when we're anticipating the feast of the next day. You have the feast of the next day, when we celebrate all of those Christians who have died and that we know are in heaven, especially at the beginning, martyrs, but more broadly, you know, all Christians now who have died and are in heaven. And then you have the development of this third Christian holiday, All Souls Day, which is for all of those who have died and are not yet in heaven, those who we call the poor souls in purgatory, or the suffering souls in purgatory, or the holy souls in purgatory. And so the tradition of going around and collecting soul cakes was actually a way of sort of bookending this celebration. You've got the soul cakes at the beginning, you've got the poor souls at the end of these 3 days. Again, this doesn't sit well with a certain type of Protestant. Well, it doesn't sit well with most Protestants.
But well, it wouldn't sit well with me, you know, 5 years ago.
Right. But it certainly doesn't sit well with the Puritan wing of Protestantism. And so that's why you end up with the outlawing of these activities, because they don't believe in purgatory. they don't believe that there are poor souls waiting somewhere who need our prayers and who need us to remember that they are somewhere so that we remember to pray for them. They want all of that wiped out of people's minds because for them, when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell, and there's no in between. There's no period of purgation. There's no period of preparation for entering into heaven. And what Halloween and All Souls Day do is say, no, that's not true. No, there's more to this life than what meets the eye.
When we come back in 2 minutes, we'll wrap up our discussion with Scott Richard talking about Halloween, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day on Our Catholic Way. Welcome back to Our Catholic Way. We're visiting with Scott Richard, talking about Halloween, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day, which commemorates the faithful departed. And we tend to pray for those in purgatory, which I know is a contentious topic. So, Scott, I think we're going to have you back on another time just to devote a show to that. But how long have we recognized All Souls Day or celebrated it?
All Souls Day is a little bit younger than All Saints Day, and I'm trying to remember. It's about the 11th century when it becomes celebrated fairly widely, almost universally at that point.
Okay. And so what is the message then for the Catholic family listening right now? I don't know if we have mostly Protestants or Catholics. I need to do a poll. But just for the person listening, it's okay to celebrate Halloween. As a matter of fact, it's encouraged. I don't know. What is the message? Even though in this day and age, we do have to be careful, though, because sadly there are people out there aren't to be trusted.
Yeah, the main thing that I would say is, don't worry about all of the things that you've heard.
Okay.
if you're familiar with Jack Chick little comic book, Jack Chick had a lot to do with the modern attack on Halloween. I mean, it really, you can trace his first tracks on Halloween to the rise in anti-Halloween sentiment in the United States, starting in the early to mid-1980s. Up until then, he had just been a relentlessly anti-Catholic tract monger. and his very first attacks on Halloween were very much like English Reformation Protestant attacks on Halloween. They were attacks on Catholics. And he was trying to claim that the reason Catholics celebrated Halloween is because we Catholics are actually worshiping pagan gods and goddesses.
Mm.
And therefore, Halloween was very much, in his mind, tied with All Saints Day. But on All Saints Day, we weren't celebrating the lives of the saints. We were worshiping Babylonian gods and goddesses, he said. And so he had this incredible effect on this. And, you know, over the next several years, up to the early 1990s, he put out more and more tracks because these things became very popular. You know, the first ones I ever saw, of course, I received in my trick-or-treat bags in the 1980s.
Oh.
But the new tracks that he put out had all of the tropes that we hear about now. For instance, the poison candy or pins and candies or pins and apples, that kind of thing, or satanic covens that were snatching children who were out trick-or-treating and sacrificing them. You know, things that have been debunked for years. There's not a single case of poison candy or candy with a razor blade or an apple with a razor blade or a pin. There's not a single documented case in the United States except for cases where parents who had mental problems did this to their own children because they saw these stories on TV and decided to do it to their own kids. There's not a single documented case of somebody doing it to someone else's kid. And yet, even though I know this to be true, when my kids go out and trick or treat, they come home and I go through their candy. I mean, that's how much these myths have taken a hold of our own imagination, you know, how concerned we are, and rightfully so as parents, about these things. But even when we know that they're not true, we still have this desire to make sure that, you know, our kids are safe. And I get that. And so parents who are concerned about the celebration of Halloween, ultimately, it's up to the parents whether you let your children take part in Halloween celebrations. But what I would say is, if you want to take part in Halloween celebrations, if you are, for instance, of my generation, and you remember taking part in Halloween celebrations and enjoying them, and you feel guilty about not letting your kids do that, well, don't feel guilty. Let them do it. It's not a problem. Go around with your children. You know, I love walking around with my kids on Halloween night because in our neighborhood, everybody's out and on their porches, and we see our neighbors and we talk and we chat, and it's a wonderful evening that isn't matched by any other day of the year. This is one of the reasons why, in fact, a couple of years ago, I wrote an article called Why the Devil Hates Halloween and Why He Wants You to Hate It Too. And the point of my article is that all of the things that happen on Halloween when your kids are out there trick-or-treating are good things. They are things that actually build up community. They are things that actually make us better as a people.
They open up doors of communication, too, to see neighbors that you otherwise wouldn't even see throughout the year in many cases. You know,
absolutely.
To open up the door to actually share the gospel at some point, to start building that relationship. Well, Scott, I only have time for one more question. I think, you know, the message you've given us is good for everyone. And I thank you so much for sharing it, that we can go out and feel good about celebrating Halloween. It's okay. It's not evil. But I am curious, do you have some ideas on maybe some more Catholic kind of ways to recognize All Saints Day? Like, I liked your idea of soul cakes, and I'm going to try to find the recipe for that and include that in the show notes. But are there some other things we can do if we want to make it more Catholic?
Well, the most important thing that we can do is to make sure that our children understand that Halloween isn't just a night to go out and get candy and gorge themselves.
Which is what they like to do.
It is, in fact, the eve of an important feast. To make it clear to our kids as Halloween approaches that the reason we celebrate this is because the very next day we are going to celebrate All Saints Day. You know, All Saints Day is a holy day of obligation, and yet most churches, you will find fewer people in Mass on All Saints Day than you'll find on an average Sunday. So there are a lot of Catholics out there who aren't going to Mass on All Saints Day, and they should be. And they should be bringing their kids, and they should be making sure that their children understand this feast. This is why they have that night of fun. And by the way, try to get back the next day for All Souls Day and to help them to understand the doctrine of purgatory and the need to pray for those who've gone before us. So always look at Halloween and the days around it in terms of the teaching of the church about those days. Before you send your kids out to an trick-or-treat, it doesn't hurt to sit down with them and pray the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. You know, I mean, it feels like a Halloween prayer when you start thinking about it. You know, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. These are great words to put into your children's minds before they go out into the darkness and see the scary things, and then they can feel like they have, in fact, put on the armor of Christ before they go out.
Scott, that is wonderful advice. And I'm thinking, too, maybe even get a book, if you don't already have one, for your kids, just about some of the saints. And maybe share a story about a saint each day throughout the month of October. I mean, hopefully we're always sharing these stories with our children, but just to really emphasize that is just a thought.
Yes, very good.
Okay.
Very good thought.
Scott, Richard, thank you so much for being on Our Catholic Way. How can we find you? Are you out there in social media? What's the best way for people to read more of your work?
Well, you can go to catholicism.about.com.
Okay.
And you can find all my articles on Halloween up there. Or if you're on Facebook, simply type About Catholicism into the Facebook search bar. Okay. And you'll come to my Facebook page About Catholicism with Scott P. Richard, and you can like the page, and then you'll get notifications when I update that page.
Well, thank you so much. And Scott, you have a wonderful Halloween as well as All Saints Day and All Souls Day. I know those are in November, but it's an exciting time coming up here. It always is within the Catholic Church. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, so what do you say to celebrate or not to celebrate Halloween? Personally, I know I'll feel better about opening my door this year to trick-or-treaters and letting my kids have fun with it. Obviously, as a parent, you have the final say and can choose what you think is best for your family. But you know what? If you're a Catholic, or even if you're exploring the Catholic faith, let's be sure to make it to Mass and be intentional about sharing what All Saints Day is about with our children. As the show comes to a close, please find me on Facebook. Just look for Our Catholic Way. Leave a review on iTunes when you have a moment. It will help people locate the show. And please call if you have feedback about today's show or have another comment. The number to call is 731-468-7929. That's 731-4-OUR-WAY. Also, I invite you to become a friend of the show. You can find out more about that on Breadbox Media. If you like what you hear here, just go to breadboxmedia.com. Next week, we will chat with Father Charles Merrill, a former Southern Baptist. Again, I'm Kim Tizer. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.